This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
You're in the arms of another, where you've no right to be.
In the 1950s, a generation before Loretta and Tammy and Dolly became household names in America, the biggest female star in Nashville, she was actually called the Queen of Country Music, was a woman named Kitty Wells. She performed at the Grand Ole Opry wearing the demure gingham dresses women were supposed to wear, and everything about her seemed Bible Belt wholesome. But Kitty Wells revolutionized what a woman could sing about.
The love in your eyes, dear, for me has grown dear.
The singer-songwriter Laura Cantrell is about the age of Kitty Wells' granddaughter, and her new record is a top-to-bottom tribute to Wells. It's called Kitty Wells Dresses, and Laura Cantrell is in Studio 360 today, along with her band. And we're going to start off with one of the Kitty Wells songs that you play on this record, one of her tunes that caused such a ruckus back then. It's called I Don't Claim to Be an Angel.
One, two, three.
Laura Cantrell and her band playing I Don't Claim to Be an Angel, which is on this new record, Kitty Wells Dresses. So that song seems so unbelievably frank for the 1950s, for a country hit in the 1950s. This person, this woman saying, I had sex with people and I have a terrible past, but, you know, maybe you'll marry me anyway or maybe you won't. Was that a controversial thing when it was released?
You know, I think after the controversy of It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, which
are your huge hit.
Right, was a huge hit. I think that that in a way it just opened the doors enough that you could say things that were frank but that were in a language that was, you know, sort of respectable enough.
Slightly oblique.
Yes, yeah, slightly oblique. It always really struck me how, you know, if you really looked into the song, how candid it really was,
yeah,
and how it just kind of got through without being a controversy because the fuss had already blown over by the time this song came out because of the big, you know, ruckus that It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels had caused.
And give the listeners a sense of the ruckus that did cause.
Well, that came out in 1952. It was an answer song to a hit of the day called The Wild Side of Life, where a man's sort of lamenting his wife is running around in the honky-tonks and won't come home. And so he sort of blames God and says, I didn't know that God would do this to me. And, you know, Kitty, in her version, which, of course, the song itself was written by a man from down in Louisiana, she says in the lyrics of the song, which she'd sung so kind of read so beautifully, like really straight, but, you know, it wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels. Don't blame all of women for what, you know, is happening in your marriage.
It wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels, as you said in the words of your song. Too many times married men think they're still single. That has caused many a good girl to go wrong.
You know, there was a moment where they thought, well, maybe we should try to kind of squelch this, you know, and we'll ban it. In fact, it did get banned from the nationally syndicated portion of the Grand Ole Opry. She couldn't perform it on that part
but
of the show.
But the horse was kind of out of the barn,
It was gone. The horse was charging out down the in the fields. No, it was a huge hit. It was a jukebox hit. It was everywhere for a while. I think that's kind of the underlying key to the whole thing. It's not that the topic was initially broached in the song, but
people loved it.
People loved it, and it sold a ton of records. So from there, they actually, you know, Johnny Wright, Kitty Wells' husband, wrote I Don't Claim to Be an Angel. Imagine, you know, in that day, writing for your good church-going, you know, wife and mother of your three kids this song that says, I've had some experience, and sweetheart, you know, I'm going to tell you about it.
And you grew up listening to her. I mean, your father played her records, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. In my dad's family, they were big Opry listeners, and Kitty was their girl. It's, you know, something that I kind of knew firsthand how important she was to them.
And when you were a teenager in the 1980s, did you feel the need or urge to reject that, or were you always fine with it? Did you ever go through a I'm not a country music girl thing?
I think every teenager in Nashville rebels against it at some point because it is so ubiquitous down there. You know, once you outgrow the sort of teenage rebellion of just rejecting it because it's there, for me at least, I realized it was something important to me. And, you know, I have grandparents that were square dancers and, you know, really into, you know, just the sort of experience of it.
One of my earliest memories is going with my parents to square dances in little towns. So I know that feeling.
Yep. So, you know, it's something that part, you know, once you outgrow the sort of teenage rebellion of just rejecting it because it's there, for me at least, I realized it was something important to me that I wanted to find out more about and explore.
Is Kitty Wells aware of this record?
Oh, yes, she is. I actually got a really wonderful chance to visit with her last summer when we were finishing mixing it. And it was very sweet for me because I'd written this song for her and I got to see her response to it. She and Johnny both, her husband, were very, very sweet and positive about it. And then when I explained to them I'd actually made a whole record in her honor, what was interesting to me was that they really just were curious about what songs I'd chosen and which ones were my favorites. And then as I explained to them, you know, why I'd picked certain songs, they just started singing them to me, you know, ones that they remembered. Oh. So it was so,
what a
so
wonderful
sweet.
Moment.
Yeah, it was really like if we got, you know, no further than that moment, that would have been, you know, the pot of gold right there.
And that one original song that you played for her is Kitty Wells Dresses.
That's right.
Which, why don't you play that now?
Great.
One, two, three.
Laura Cantrell performing Kitty Wells Dresses, which is also the title of her new record. And backing you up are Jeremy Chatsky, Mark Spencer, John Graboff, and Kenny Kosick. Kitty Wells Dresses. Do you feel like doing this record of her songs and then this song about her is sort of like some virtual dress-up game with her you're playing?
Well, I definitely will say that I, you know, was referring to a lot of things with the title of the record and with the idea of the dresses and the clothes that she wore. And certainly when I was learning to play this music myself, Kitty's music was easy to try on. You know, it was pretty direct, straightforward. The arrangements were simple. It was a great starting place. So there was a sort of virtual trying on of her style. And I also just have always been fascinated with the image that the women had at that time, because it was obviously a kind of enforced sweetness and,
yes,
and
frilliness.
Yeah, and frilly and non-threatening and not too, you know, pretty but not too sensual. This idea that the whole show being presented had to be wholesome in a way.
Well, it reminds me very much of the modern princessy thing that little girls are kind of obliged to buy into today. Mm-hmm. And you have a little girl, yes?
I do. I have a five-year-old, and she loves those princesses. And in fact, when we were working on the photos for Kitty Wells' dresses, I came home one day with a big pile of gingham, and Bella just thought it was the most exciting. She wanted me to try on all those frilly dresses. So there was a built-in appeal for the little girls.
And when she comes home in a couple of years singing Taylor Swift songs, how will that go down with Mom?
Oh, that'll be just fine with me. It's funny because she's also already very aware what songs are mine. And one day she stopped me and she said, "Are you writing that song, Mama?" And I said, "Yes, I am, Bella." She said, "You must really like Kitty Wells." So it's an interesting, you know, even at a young age, you know, she's been aware of me kind of trying on this stuff for my own purposes.
Laura Cantrell, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
You can see Laura and her band performing another song in our studio at our website, studio360.org.